Chapter 12. I walk briskly the entire way back to the hotel, checking the time frequently. I'm making good progress. It's now 5 to 1, and I'm nearly at the hotel, my time estimation almost exactly right. I'm a bit flushed from the walk, and the wad of bills over my heart is slightly damp, but no matter. It would appear the hotel has cleared out a bit since the morning. There are fewer guests about. Mr. Preston is alone at his doorman's podium. When he sees me approaching, he steps out from behind it, his arms oddly stiff by his sides. I wave and rush up the stairs, but Mr. Preston calls down before I reach the top.
"Molly," he says, his voice a tense whisper, "go home."
I stop on the third stair. His expression is odd, as though he very much needs a washroom break. "Mr. Preston, I can't go home now. I'm only halfway through my shift."
"Molly," he calls down again, "use the back door, please."
"Are you quite all right, Mr. Preston? Do you need assistance?" It's only then that it comes into focus. The absence of guests in the grand entrance, Mr. Preston standing too formally at the podium, his strange whispered orders. Through the glass of the revolving doors, I can make out Mr. Snow and beside him, a looming shadowy figure, Detective Stark.
"My dear girl," Mr. Preston says, "don't go inside."
"It's quite all right," I say as I march up the remaining steps. "A few more questions won't kill me." I push through the doors. Before I can take more than one step into the lobby, Mr. Snow and Detective Stark block my path. There's something about Detective Stark's posture that I don't like. The way her arms are bowed and her hands outstretched, as if I'm a varmint she's determined to catch before I take flight. I see Cheryl out of the corner of my eye, standing a few trolley lengths away, but there's something different about her, too. It's the first time I've seen a genuine smile on her face, a look of anticipation and excitement. "Excuse me," I say to Mr. Snow and Detective Stark, "I must not dilly-dally. The rest of my shift begins in approximately 3 minutes."
"I'm afraid it doesn't," says Detective Stark.
I look to Mr. Snow, but he can barely meet my eye. His glasses are cantilevered to one side. Beads of sweat have formed at his temples.
"Molly, the detective is taking you back to the station for more questioning."
"Can't I answer questions here and then get back to work? I have a heavy workload today."
"That won't be possible," says Detective Stark. "There's an easy way and a hard way to do everything, and the easy way is best."
It's an interesting comment, but it's dead wrong. In my line of work, the easy way is the lazy way, not the best way at all. But since we're in the hotel, and that technically makes the detective a guest, I will be polite and bite my tongue. I look around the lobby again and notice that more people have begun to gather. They're not milling about, heading to and fro the way they usually do. They've formed little clusters by the reception desk, in the lounge chairs, on the marble landing by the grand staircase. They're oddly static and quiet. They're all looking in one direction. Their cold eyes are looking at me. "Well, Detective Stark," I say, "I'll accept the easy way." I look at Mr. Snow and add, "But just this once." Detective Stark gestures for me to lead the way out the revolving doors, which I do, as she follows too closely behind me. As I pass, I take one glance back and see all eyes tracking my departure. Mr. Preston is outside the door at the top of the stairs.
"Here," he says, taking my elbow. "Allow me to help you, Molly."
I'm about to tell him I'm quite all right, but as I look down at the stairs, the red carpet undulates in a vertigo-inducing wave. I hold tightly to Mr. Preston's arm. It feels warm, comforting. We are at the bottom of the staircase. Detective Stark says,
"Let's go. It's time."
"Molly, take good care," Mr. Preston says.
"I always do," I reply, not entirely believing my own words.